1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 through 24. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Thank you, Lord.
For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Precious Lord, speak through the pastor the foolishness of preaching. Preach it in a way, Father God, that everyone under the sound of my voice not only can hear it, but hear it with understanding. And after hearing it and hearing it with understanding, be able to make application, apply it to their lives, and then live out these truths in a sin-sick world. Yes. Father God, we say thank you for this day.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul's coming to this church. And this is a corrective letter. Paul's seeing something wrong. Paul's saying there's something wrong with y'all's preaching. Okay? Sort of like what we see in today in this world. There's something wrong with the preaching. Jake was praying. Preachers don't want to preach the word of God. They want to amuse people. Preaching has become entertaining. Folks leave his church. Recently, someone left. It looks for excitement. Need some more entertainment. All that word. Every week, the word of God. Every week, the word of God. Listen. If everybody leave because I'm preaching the word of God, and if ain't but one person left here, I'm still going to preach the word of God.
Amen.
I just am. And that's the call. That's the call of the preacher. So when we look at these verses and we talk about the power of the cross, I just want to look at a few things. I want to talk about what it means, what the power of the cross means, how is it used, how can we apply it to our life, and I'm not gonna be long. Y'all believe that. Okay. Just hold on thought. I'm not. So again, Paul come to this Corinthians church, affluent church, rich church, a lot of money, a lot of sin in this city. He's preaching to both Jews and Greeks. Okay? So the Jewish believers or the Jewish listeners, they says, well, it's foolishness to believe that the Messiah was going to come to this earth and be humiliated and to be crucified on a cross. To them, that was foolishness. Okay? The Greeks were known as philosophers. They were super smart people. And they couldn't receive the word of God because it was beneath them. Okay? It was beneath them to even think that a man came out of heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, was buried, and rose on the third day. To them, that was foolishness. Okay? So Paul is writing here in verse 17. He says, I know y'all don't want to hear it. I know y'all don't want to hear it. And a lot of people still don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. Okay? And what a lot of preachers do when they look out there and they see faces and they see people and they say, these people don't want to hear the word of God. Let us give them the word of God, but let us mingle in wisdom of words. Okay? You look at a lot of churches are known not for preaching the gospel, but they're known for who their pastor is. Mm-hmm. What they pastor do and how big a house they pastor have and how much money they pastors worth, and they're known by their pastors. And you ask them about going to church and they'll tell you who their pastor is. Okay? Paul said, that's not good. That's not good. And that's what he said in verse 17. You read along verse 17 with me real quick here. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, okay, but to preach the gospel. Paul said, I come to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Let's keep it simple. Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave. Anybody ever ask you, what is the gospel? Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave. See, we ought not be just preaching about the resurrection, the death and burial of Jesus on Palm Sunday. Amen. And next week. And then the other 50 weeks, we don't talk about the resurrection. Let me tell you something. The resurrection should be preached 2, 3, 4, 5 times a year. Okay? The cross ought to be preached on a regular basis. And the cross ought to be preached on a regular basis. Repentance ought to be preached on a regular basis. You ain't hearing a whole lot of that kind of preaching.
That's right.
It wasn't going on in Corinth. Corinth was like Las Vegas. It was. It was wealthy, sin sick. A lot of things went on, and Paul went there and started preaching the gospel. Imagine that. Remember what the one guy wanted to kill Paul. He said, y'all, he's taking all my business away. He was making little idol rings and stuff. And when Paul got done with the Corinthian church, he was running all that stuff out. It was known to have 1,000 male and female prostitutes in the temple. And it was just a lot going on. And Paul had the audacity to go there and plant a church. How about that? And then when he came back and checked on the church, he realized, see, y'all ain't doing it right. I would hope that if Paul came to this church, listened to us on sermon audio, and he would come here and he would say, man, I thank God y'all preaching the gospel there. Paul went back to this church and they weren't preaching the word of God. And hear what Paul said. And I'm going to read here again. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And when he's saying this, he's saying what they was doing, Deacon Jeremy, not with wisdom of words. So obviously, they had a problem at the Corinthian church because the people was getting up, and because you had a Greek audience and a Jewish audience, they was trying to be flamboyant with the words and eloquence. I can't even say it. Y'all know I'm not eloquent. So they was trying to preach an impressive, man-centered message. And Paul correct him. He says, but preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words or worldly wisdom. Why? Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Let me tell you something. What's he saying there? If you ain't preaching the cross, people can't get saved. Okay? We sing in the song this morning, at the cross. At the cross. If people don't get the message of the cross, it's hard to convince them that they need a Savior. Jesus died on a cross. Not for any sin he done. He died for us on a cross. And it needs to be explained to people, especially folks that have not heard the preaching of the cross. They need to hear it.
Amen.
And you got to be bold to preach it. Because you know why? Because you're looking at people. And they said, I don't hear that. You got to be crazy if you want me to believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave. It's that kind of message. But all the time, remember, I was saying it this morning because Mervin was all in my sermon this morning. He was just saying stuff. And there's two people. Paul says in verse 18, there's two types of people that you always going to be preaching to. Two types. Whether they listen to it on sermon audio, they may be sitting in the congregation, or they may watch it on Facebook. You may meet them at your job. John Wesley used to say all the time, I talk to somebody, and he said, the first thing I try to determine when I'm talking to somebody, whether this person is going to heaven or hell. Okay? Two types of people in the world. Okay? You have an Easter dinner. You watching March Madness. Two types of people going to be watching March Madness. It's right there. Two types of people. Here it is. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay? Folks that's perishing. I like that word, perish. You know why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. But have everlasting life, eternal life, however you want to put it. But folks that don't believe are perishing. Okay? They don't want to hear that. And they're not going to hear from a lot of preachers. You know, you don't believe, you're going to hell. Now, I didn't say that. John 3:16 says that.
Amen.
John 3:16 said, I just read it. Okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth should not perish. So what's the flip side of that? If you don't believe, these Jesus' own words. People always think, oh, John 3:16, that's such a wonderful verse. They got these John 3:16 shirts on. And if I see somebody with a John 3:16 shirt on, I want to ask them, did you understand what you're wearing is one of the most offensive shirts you could buy? That's one of the most offensive statements in all the Bible. Okay? You will never hear a politician that says, oh, I'm a Christian. Now, they all about to be Christians in the next couple of months. They all about to be Christians, okay? We got a big election coming up, and they all about to be Christian. Now, no reporter worth their salt is going to wave their hand at the press conference and say, you say you're a Christian? Do you believe John 3:16? Do you believe that if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell? That ain't never going to be asked. Never going to be asked. Why? Because if you don't believe John 3:16, you're not a Christian.
Amen.
I'm going to put it out there.
Amen.
Watch this. You got the type that perish. The Bible's foolishness. I'm a fool. I'm an absolute fool.
Amen.
Okay? And that's what all preachers are. True preachers are fools, madmen, nut jobs, whack jobs. Okay, y'all know. Listen, if y'all sitting here thinking one day this church gonna be full, let me tell you something. If y'all sitting here one day we gonna have people, we gonna have chairs in the aisles. Listen. That's wonderful, but what we would need before that happens is revival in the land.
Amen.
Okay. Or every other church in Youngstown shut down and people had nowhere else to go but here. Why is that? Because the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Okay? But perishing people want to go to church. That's what's crazy about it. I know a whole lot of people that are perishing. They want to go to a church, but they don't want to go to a church that preaches the gospel. They want to go to a church that's not going to confront them, not going to preach against sin, not going to call them to repent and turn. You don't hear that. You turn on TV, you ain't hearing that. You ain't hearing that. That don't pay. You ain't sitting on TV long preaching repentance. Okay?
That's right.
You sow a seed. Y'all sow enough seeds, I might stop preaching on repentance. You got the people who perish you. And watch this. But unto us, I hope that us means all y'all. Mm-hmm. I hope when I read that word us, the first thing that comes to your mind is that's me in this verse. I'm the us in this verse, okay? But unto us which are saved, meaning what? I ain't getting far today. Listen. But unto us which are saved. Listen. What it means to be are saved? That means we have heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ and him crucified and buried in that borrowed tomb and rose from the grave. We heard that message. And by faith, we believe it as true. And we believe it as true. And we don't, there is nothing that's going to separate us from believing that. Okay? Amen. Now, I'm always of the persuasion to say, if you believe that you can lose your salvation, if you believe that something can come along in your own life that can cause you to turn away from the things of God, you ain't got the right stuff.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
You just don't have the right stuff. And you can sit here and say, well, you know, Pastor, you know, if one of my children got sick, I don't know if I would believe in God anymore. You don't believe in him now. You don't believe in them. If something happened to me at work and I lost my arm, or, you know, you don't believe in them now. You don't believe in them now. Because if God says nothing shall separate,
mm-hmm.
nothing shall separate us from the love of God.
That's right.
Then nothing should be able to separate you from loving God.
Amen.
It's just a two-way street. But this is unto us which are saved. It is the power of God. Now, listen. That's far as I'm going. 16 and 17. 17 and 18 is the power of God. What is the power of God? Now, that's a good question. What is the power of God? How do we use the power of God? Why is it necessary that we have the power of God? Okay? What does the power of God do? What has it done? You got to be explaining all this stuff. Okay? What has the power of God done in your life? How would you explain to someone that I have the power of God living in me? They ought to be able to see some of it. Okay? Jesus on the inside? Okay? Working on the outside? Oh, what a change in my life. Listen. First, the cross, Jesus died on the cross. When he died on the cross, he reconciled us back to God. Think about that. We were aliens. Okay? We were separated from God. We didn't have no God in our lives. When Jesus died on the cross, the God came down and died on the cross. When he died on the cross, he died for what? For our sins. Our sins separated us from a holy God. Okay, you can't serve God and serve devil too.
Amen.
It's impossible. It's impossible. Let me give you a verse. This is a great verse about reconciliation. Somebody say, what is reconciliation? I don't want to be condescending. What is reconciliation? Reconciliation is the restoration of a relationship. Okay? Now, y'all know Cindy and I's story. Cindy and I went at it for a little while. Cindy was acting crazy. Y'all know I told y'all that she was acting crazy and I had to leave. Okay? That's enough of my business. I'm not telling y'all all my business. But when I happened to go and listen to this man preach, and he preached the gospel, and he talked about reconciliation, this is why I understand how important reconciliation is. And he preached about reconciliation, and he basically said, listen, if you tell me you love the Lord and you can't forgive and you can't reconcile, that's faulty.
Amen.
That's faulty. Okay? So reconciliation is the restoration of a relationship. Okay? So that's two people who are at odds. And then they are restored. That relationship is restored. That's reconciliation. Okay? So when you hear, it says here in Ephesians 2:14, he says, for he is our peace. God is our peace. Jesus is our peace, who have made both one. Okay? And have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We don't wall between. If you at odds with someone, Okay. Someone you love. Okay. You at odds with them. And it's basically a wall between you two. Okay. You can't break that wall down. You don't have that. Okay. And that other person can't break that wall down. They don't have that. And you may fight. I know people who still mad at their loved ones. Their loved ones is in the grave. And they still mad at them. They still talk crazy about them. You know? Because they can't break it down. My old man, you know. I was just talking to a young girl. My old man, he ain't no good. Never was no good. That wall's still there. Okay? And the only way that they're going to ever come together, somebody got to preach the gospel to them. See? This is why I heard somebody say today, I don't know if Jacob was if Deacon Jeremy, judgment must be getting in the house of God. Because if the people God put in place to preach the gospel refuse to preach it, how are people gonna be restored? How's people gonna be restored when you're talking about preaching a message on why you shouldn't eat hot dogs? Okay? Ain't nobody getting saved when you preaching sow a seed. And you ought to give your money and you ought to, no, ain't nobody getting saved. People need to hear the gospel.
Yes.
Amen.
That's how people are gonna get saved. And they don't, you know, I don't know when they're going to get saved. They may have to hear it 50 times. They may have to hear it 100 times. They may have to be like the lady, the people, the missionaries that going door to door, the Baptist folks going door to door, not the Jehovah's Witnesses. They ain't preaching the gospel. The Baptist folks, they was going door to door, and they got on this woman's door, and they we from the church. And she's like, my daddy was a preacher, and I didn't heard that message 1,000 times. And I still ain't saved. And you know what the preacher said? Well, maybe you need to hear it 1,001 times.
Amen.
And they gave her the gospel again. 2 weeks later, she showed up at the church, and they said she never left the church. How about that? So you don't know where somebody at. You don't know how many times God may have to go to this person with the gospel before something clicks. But we got this golden corral gospel. We got a buffet full of messages. Let's preach the word.
Amen.
It ain't gonna get boring. It ain't going to get boring to save folks. Okay? How do I know that? Let me read it to you. Okay? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Okay? But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. Listen. I know I'm in the right crowd. I can preach certain messages 50 times in a row. And folks that love the Lord be like, that was so good. That was so good. Can you preach? You know, how many times we hear the message, like this morning Sunday school, the message of the cross, two thieves on the cross. What a great message.
Amen.
You can hear it over and over and over. The woman with the issue of blood, over and over and over. The raising of Lazarus, over and over and over. How many times have you heard that message? Okay? Now, if I preach, you shouldn't eat cheeseburgers for rallies. I don't even know if they sell cheeseburgers. They sell big, everything is supposed to be big. I don't know. Listen. Let me give you Ephesians 2:14. Reconciliation. Hey, think about this. I'm giving you guys ammunition. Because you run into people. And the message don't have to apply to you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you run into somebody and they come to you and they say, man, me and my brothers and me and my sisters, me and my cousins, me and my coworkers, me and my boss, we just ain't getting along. I can't stand them. And you can give them a message. Say, you know what? The only answer is the Lord. Okay? You're really mad at the Lord. Paul said, for he is our peace. You want peace? You ain't gonna find it. Listen, you ain't finding it. But listen, November come along and they go to the polls and all that. You listen. There's probably gonna be more disruptions and more hatred and more violence. It ain't gonna be no peace no matter who wins in November. Let me tell you something.
Amen.
Okay? Our peace is found only in one place, and that's in Jesus Christ, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. How did he do it? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. How about that? Even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances for to make in himself one twain, one new man. How about that? Gonna bring us together. God is the only person that can bring us together. And God is the only person that holds us together. I tell people all the time. You know, talked to a guy yesterday. I was going to get a pizza. I talked to a guy yesterday. I hadn't seen him in a long time. Used to golf with him. And he's the only person I know been married longer, my age, been married longer than me. I said, how long you and Teresa been married? 42 years. I said, no. I said, you a gangster. You an OG for real, 40 years. You got 42 years, and me and Cindy got 40. You know, how about that? How you keep that together? It's God.
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Somebody say, if it had not been the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Okay. I tell people, you get married without the Lord. I don't know what you're doing. It takes the love of God to keep a people together. Okay. Let me keep going. You got reconciliation. The cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he gave us the power not only to reconcile with God, but to reconcile with anybody we have aught with. Anybody we have a beef with. And that don't mean that person got to accept you. But you want to make sure your heart right. You want to make sure your right heart right with God. Because you can't go to God and say, well, I was going to forgive him, but he wouldn't have accepted it. No. That don't work like that. You forgive that person, okay? You forgive that person and get your heart right. Because you're going to have to stand before God. And that person ain't going to be standing next to you. It's one-on-one. It's on one-on-one. It gives us, here's one that really was good. I don't know how many of these I'm going to get through. Y'all know I always have a bunch of points. But he said, the power of God gives us the power to separate from the world. Let me tell you, here's what was going on here in the Galatian church. The Galatians were scared. Is there anything worse than a scared Christian? I've been scared sometimes. I go places and preach, and I be scared. I be like, oh, I don't know if these people are going to receive it. And you know what God say? Let's preach the word.
Amen.
Be instant in season, out of season. You know what? They ain't going to be mad at you. They're going to be mad at the word. They call a preacher to come preach their funeral. Can you come preach my husband's funeral? You know, you was his hospice chaplain. Can you come preach his funeral? You know what you asked him, right? I ain't got no heaven or hell to put nobody in. But I have a commandment from the Lord to preach the gospel. That's it. And they were scared. Paul says in Galatians 6:14, this is a familiar verse. He said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Well, listen, what Paul is saying here, if I put anything before the Lord, I'm in the wrong. If I put my wife before the Lord, put my job before the Lord, if I put anything before the Lord, I'm wrong. So Paul's saying the power of God gives us the strength to separate ourselves from the things of this world. Somebody said, we just pilgrims, strangers and pilgrims just passing through. Think of it, Peter. I'm just reading it here. Listen, dearly beloved, here's Peter. Now, these Christians is under persecution, but the world, okay, the world is always going to be against us. How many of y'all know that? How many of y'all felt it this week?
Amen.
How many of y'all got some heat this week from the world? And it forced you to really think about where you at with your faith. That's what the world do. Peter said, I know that. He says this in 1 Peter 2:11. He said, dearly beloved, talking about Christians, dearly beloved, saved folks. He said, I beseech you, I beg you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Think about that. This world is not attacking our flesh. Don't care about this flesh. It does not care about this flesh. The word of God says flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. I keep telling y'all, the longer I live in this flesh, the closer I'm getting to saying, listen, cremation sounds real good, okay?
Amen.
The longer I live in it, and the more, it's just, you know, it's almost like I want some get back. I mean, this flesh make, I mean, it just hits me in the head sometimes, hit me in the body. I tell people all the time, y'all sit here and say, well, you know, you're a pastor. Listen, these eyes work, these hands work. I got a thought life. You know, I'm constantly, and I know all y'all, some of y'all might, you know, I'm so holy that, listen, you ain't so holy that the devil ain't coming at you, okay? You ain't that holy, okay? And Peter said it war against your soul, okay? John 10:10 says it like this. He says, the devil comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. It won't take away all your joy. It wants your soul. It wants your soul. It wants your praise. It wants your worship. And if you can't get your worship, he wants you to sit there and like, you know, if Pastor knew how I was acting this week, there ain't no way he would ask me to pray.
Amen.
I wait for that. y'all understand. See, Jake keep it 100. Okay? He just keep it real. Now the way we get along. We've been dealing with each other for a long time. We just keep it 100. We at war.
Amen.
Y'all remember the song back in the day? Way before some of y'all's time. War. Huh.
What is it doing?
Absolutely nothing. And Satan, see, Jake didn't even get that. See, and Satan, he's going to have to Google that later on. And Satan is warring against us. We at war. Vernon, you know something about this war? We at war. Listen, whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, James 4:1, even your lust, watch, that war in your members. He didn't talk about the members of the church. He talking about the members, your feet and your hands and your eyes and your ears. War. And what was happening here, Paul knew that the Christians of Galatians wasn't putting up a fight. You ain't putting up a fight. You got to put up a fight. You got to be tough to be a Christian. I talk to people. I say, ain't no way you're a Christian. People are quick to kick. Who are you to judge? I say, listen, you ain't tough enough.
Amen.
See, we've been convinced that to be a Christian, you got to be like Tiny Tim. You got to be soft. You got to be milquetoast. You got to go along with anything. I'm walking around that prison. And all the Muslims, Ramadan, they walking around, they marching around. You know, they marching around like they bad. Hellbound.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christians, they walking around. You know, they I'm sitting here like, well, y'all in for a rude awakening. Uh-huh. Y'all got the right chaplain here, because we gonna be some warriors up in there. Okay? Okay? I don't know how long I'm going to be out there. I tell them, I don't have that kind of message. And I tell some of the Christians, they want to come to my Bible study. Listen, it's going to be called Warrior Bible Study. We're gonna learn how to be tough. Because you got to be tough to be Christian.
Amen.
I know. Everybody here should be saying amen, because you got to be tough. This ain't for chumps.
Amen.
And I tell them, I had one couple of guys in my office. I said, let me tell you something. Name me three people in the Bible that wasn't tough, that God used, Cain. Male or female. Okay? We can start with Ruth. We can start with Naomi. We can go to Mary. We can go Martha. We can go woman at the well. Y'all think she wasn't tough? She was tough. And when she came to the Lord, guess what? Got tougher. Joshua, Caleb, Mark, Matthew. You go down the list. Name me a Christian that wasn't tough. Name me a man of God that wasn't tough. Daniel, three Hebrew boys, Paul, Silas, Timothy, somebody said Thomas this morning. It's tough stuff. Tough stuff. Paul died for it. All the apostles died for it. All the prophets died for it. Jonah was tough as nails. Y'all sit here and think about Jonah. Think about how tough Jonah was. Jonah, it wasn't that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he was scared. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he hated them. He hated the Ninevites. He hated them because they hated the God of Israel. Jonah had the same passion that David had. And Jonah said, listen, I ain't going.
He told God.
That's right. He told God. He said, listen, I ain't going. And matter of fact, I'm going the opposite way. It's true. That's true. He said, I ain't going to Nineveh because I know you. I know you're a God of grace. And I know you're a God of mercy. And if I go there and tell them the gospel, then you're going to save them. And I can't stand them. I can't stand them. That's some interesting stuff, ain't it? Boy, wonder if we had a church full of folks like that. We embracing all this stuff that the Ninevites was doing. We embracing it. Give me some Jonas. Oh, goodness. The power. Here we go. The power to remove the law. You know when Jesus died on the cross? When he died on the cross, the law was fulfilled. The law was fulfilled. The ceremony laws was fulfilled. All the, you know, we have the Ten Commandments. And they're time tested. They're gonna last forever. Okay? But the Jews made another almost 500 laws. You couldn't spit on the ground. Now it's against the law. You spit on the ground, you make it mud. Okay? Listen. Blotting, Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, all that stuff went out. All that stuff died. All them laws. What are we under now? Grace. Amen. What is grace? Favor. We got God's favor. If you're a child of God, you got favor from God. When we was under law, we didn't have favor from God.
Amen.
Okay? You commit a sin, you die for it. You whatever you did, you was punished. Now we're under grace. Now, should we just abuse this grace? God forbid. God forbid. We under grace, we ought to live. We ought to live like children of God. We ought to live like those who are saved by grace. There's a backing up. There's a backing up. I don't want people, well, I'm a Christian. Back it up. Prove it. I ain't got a problem saying that. David said it. David told God, he said, listen, try me, test me, prove me. We don't want to be tested. We hide everything. We don't want nobody to question anything we do. You're a Christian. You ought to be transparent. You're a Christian. Man of God. Woman of God. Well, I'm going to get one more.
Amen.
I'm going to get one more and let y'all go. Maybe two? Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Deacon. Whoa. Okay. Maybe two. All right. Here's a good one.
Amen.
Romans 6:6. Watch this. Now, again, the power of God. All right? The power of God. You got the power of God? You got power to do some things. You know, so, and some of us don't tap into that power. And we never see God work anything in our life. We never see God do anything in our lives. I'm not going to sit here and say we never see God do a miracle. I'm not one of the miracle guys. I'm not one of the miracle talking preachers, okay? You know, we don't see God answering our prayers. I'll put it like that, okay? Because, see, a biblical miracle was something that could not be explained by man or science. Like the parting of the Red Sea. Can't explain that. You can't explain that. Okay, Lazarus being risen from the grave after 4 days. Can't explain that. That's a miracle. Okay? You ride down the street on your motorcycle, hit a bump, and fly 10 feet in the air and land on 3 haystacks. That ain't a miracle. I can explain why you didn't break your neck. You didn't have a helmet on. You landed on 3 haystacks. It might have been a blessing. But it wasn't a miracle. Because I could see. Whatever. Romans 6. One more, Dick, Jeremy. This might be long. Yes, ma'am. Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? How about that? God is a God of grace. You know, I heard one lady years ago. Cindy told me. She tell me all kind of stories. She tell me stuff. Cindy would tell me stories, and she say, "Don't say it in church." This was a long time ago. So the two people, the man and the woman, they were Christians. And they were going on a cruise. And they said, well, you know, we Christians, and what we do on a cruise, we're going to ask God to forgive us when we come back. See, that's probably why I don't want to go on a cruise. I don't want to go on a cruise with people like that, because God may take that whole ship down just to get them. But that's what they said. And that's what Paul's addressing. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, Christians, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, he's talking about sin here. He's not talking about just, you know, Mr. Mark on Tuesday and 6 months from now. He's talking about a constant lifestyle of sin. That means you are identified by your sin. Okay? It's a difference. It's a continual sin. You just have this pattern of sin, and everybody know you in this. He said, "Know you not," verse 3, "that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." Okay? When we baptize folks, what do we say? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And going down in the baptismal pool is symbolic of going into the grave with Jesus and coming up what? New man, new woman, okay? No babble, no gibberish, none of that mumble jumble stuff. You ain't got to do all that. When they say, well, you ain't speaking in tongues, you got to go down again. No, Jesus, when Jesus rose from the grave, there's nothing in there to say he starts speaking in tongues. Okay, so verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death, that like as Jesus was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Now, how many times have you heard me say, you know, we are a living testimony of the resurrection.
Amen.
Okay, people look at us, they ought to see just what they saw when they seen Lazarus. They say, this person was dead. This person was dead. Last time I seen him, he was dead in his sins. He was living for the world. He was a drunk. He was a womanizer. He was an adulterer. He was a fornicator. He was a thief. He was just a rebellious person. And now he's saved. What happened? Been born again. I've been born again. Okay? Now, it's hard to tell somebody you're born again and you're still doing all that stuff.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's what the world sees. They say, well, you're a Christian and you're still doing all that stuff? Out in public? That's why I don't go to church. See, that's what they say. I'm just telling you. That's why I don't go to church.
Right.
He's a bunch of hypocrites. But then again, you know, I heard a guy tell me the definition of a hypocrite. He said, a hypocrite is someone who is transforming from a sinner to a Christian. You still got to go through something. Everything ain't dropping off of you. Okay? You're just going to be dragging along with that addiction or that habit. It's going to come off. How do I know? Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. That thing going to stop. You may have to walk with it a little bit. Okay? When I came to the Lord, I had an interesting story. Interesting story. All this stuff happens to me. Many of y'all know me, but, you know, Cindy ain't shitty gone. I used to love to gamble. I didn't love to gamble. I was a gambling addict. Okay? And it wasn't nothing for me to get on a plane and go to Las Vegas and lose everything. I got so bad, I would put $50 under the seat of my car bat just so I can get out of the parking deck.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad I had it. I had it so bad. One time I was in Las Vegas, I'm playing 7 cards. I don't even like talking about this stuff, but I'm going to tell y'all this. I'm playing 7 cards, and I got 4 sevens, And then he gave me two more cards. Now I got five. I got two wild cards. And I'm betting $120. And the lights and everything went off. I might have $50,000. You know what I have by the end of that night? No chips. No chips. No chips. Know what I did that morning? Call Cindy. Cindy, send me another $1,000. You know how hard that is? You know how hard it is for me to call Cindy and say, send me $1,000 when she tight, like if I said, send me two nickels, she was like, what for? And I'm down in Columbus at the training, and so I'm talking to this guy. I've been ministering to him the whole time, and he got a gambling problem. And I've told him about mine and how God delivered me from it. And he's been down there a week, and he lost a whole lot of money. And he's like, how did you do that? I said, I told you already. I asked God to take this away. I said, God, take this away. Okay? This thing, listen. You be in Vegas, and you broke, and you know, I got this little gold on. And every window you look out, pawn shop. Adam back there, he said, I'm taking Karina to Vegas, huh? Have at it. You won't be taking me. Jake was fighting in Vegas. Hey, you in free ride? Come out here, bro. You have Vegas. I went down to Mountaineer, and he fought down to Mountaineer. I went down there, and that was a struggle. Listen. God is good.
Amen.
And when the power of God comes in your life, you just take that habit. Take that habit by faith and say, God, this is too big for me. You take it. Give me strength to let this thing go. Okay? He will. He will. That's the kind of God we serve. Watch this. Verse 6. Romans 6:6. I'm closing. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Mm-hmm. You know, think about what Paul's saying here as I close. Paul said, the man of God, the woman of God, who has the power of God in their life, received at Calvary, has enough juice not to serve sin. Listen, if any man sin, we have a Savior that is what? Faithful and just. I hear people say, well, once you come to the Lord, you'll never sin no more. That's not true. That's not true. You're going to sin. Here's the difference. Paul says that we should not serve sin. We should not serve sin. That means we're going to have some issues. Because we in this flesh. This flesh is going to war against us to the day we come out of it. That's why I'm going to burn this. I'm convincing myself that I'm going to burn this thing. Okay? But we're gonna be in this flesh. We're going to have issues. Don't let no preacher, don't let no church say, well, you should live a sinless life. That's impossible. Because we in this flesh. Okay? But we ought to be, we have enough power in the Lord that we ought not be ruled. We ought not be, sin should not be our boss. We answering to sin. Sin, what you want me to do today? How you doing, sin? How was your night? No. No. When we had issues, when we sin, we have a bad day, we might have a bad moment, we ask God, you know, you in control.
Amen.
Okay? Give me strength that I won't repeat that. Somebody said, you know, we don't want to get burnt twice by the same fire. Okay? You see, okay, I messed up. Lord, forgive me. God, he's forgiving God. He's forgiving God. But we're not going to be serving sin.
Amen.
Walking around, you know, with a, what's it called, a towel on you. How can I help you today? My.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I covered a lot. That's enough.
Amen.
That's enough. Y'all get the gist of it?
Amen.
It's power. And Calvary, that was the most powerful event in the history of the world. That's what Jake was praying about. I heard him say it. It is, you know, but they celebrate Super Bowl Sunday. We're in March Madness now. Folks going crazy. March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
The eclipse is coming. I was saying that this morning. I went to Uptown Pizza yesterday and ordered a pizza. They got little cardboard glasses. They sell them for $2.50. Listen, listen. There is no bigger day. Okay? March Madness, the Masters, the U.S. Open, Wimbledon. We celebrate all the stuff, the Grammys, the Emmys. Listen, there's nothing bigger than the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's nothing bigger to us that believe. To us that believe, there's nothing bigger. There's nothing bigger. Precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, be big in our lives. Be big in our lives, Father God. Let us be like Mary. Mary said, come, let us magnify the Lord. Let us make God big in our lives. Bigger than he is today. Bigger than he is today. When we leave here today, let the Lord be bigger.
Yes.
Bigger. We want God to be Superman, giant.
Yes.
Be big in our children's life. Be big in our loved ones' life. Use us, Father God, to convince a dying world their need for a Savior this resurrection season. Father God, be with us. Give us courage. Give us wisdom to go out into a fallen world and to preach the cross of Christ to them that are perishing. To them that are perishing. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.